Come on. Are you ready?
Welcome to Dave and Mahoney.
Would you prefer to be the really dumb one out of the group?
If you're the dumbest person in a group, you're the happiest person.
Seems like it.
If I'm the smartest person in a room, I'm in the wrong room.
Is that why you're so happy here? Because Audrey and I just were so intelligent.
I think I may be in the wrong room.
Dave and Mahoney. I love complimenting strangers, and I think that it might bite me in the butt one day.
Like the actual stranger? Yeah, I could see a stranger biting your ass.
Dave and Mahoney. I'm getting electrocuted, guys. So
Mahoney's walking around and he's adjusting these lights, but he's getting shocked every time that he's doing
touching it.
That he's just going,
So if you hold on to the desk because I'm grounding myself,
you're okay.
I'm okay. But the second I let go, I'm kind of starting to like it. All right.
And now, this is Dave and Mahoney.
Hello, friends, and thank you for joining us on this Wednesday. Got some good news and some bad news to kick things off today. What would you like first there, Mahoney?
Dave, why don't we start off today's show with some bad news.
Yeah, some bad news. A bond has been set for that substitute teacher. She got found naked in the car with the teenage boy, and it's only $25,000.
Well, also, did you see that there was two DUIs? Has she been previously arrested and looking a lot better than her second DUI mugshot? Because not DUI, excuse me, her just mugshot in general, because once she looks like she just got taken out of the back seat of a car naked, you know, and the other one, she's smiling and looking totally normal.
Yeah, so to make this thing even creepier, she is, she's married, and she has a daughter that is about the age
sale.
So, and, like, her husband, I think, has, like, some sort of clearance and, like, worked in government work. Like, married family, kid that age. Like, it's just, everything about it is just, I don't know what this lady is going through, but she has just torched her entire life by being a total creep.
And then, you know, it's crazy to think that that bond is only $25,000.
Right? Isn't that nuts?
Yeah.
Doesn't that just seem like not nearly enough? Because you can post 10%, so for $2,500,
yep,
you can get out. By the way, this is another fun little detail about this story. So they were in her car that, you know, is owned by her and her husband.
Uh-huh.
And the teen, when the cops pulled up, was in the car with her and took off in the vehicle, crashed the vehicle that her and her husband own, and then the cops come up and she's butt naked in it while the teen runs off in his underwear.
Uh-huh.
Yeah, I mean,
so like, this is a real dumb situation.
You just do not recover from that, right?
No.
You shouldn't. You're a sexual you are a predator of minors.
Yeah, it's
you
so disgusting.
You should not, ever. Yeah. I mean, her face should be plastered in every neighborhood, like every man that's a predator.
Yep, absolutely. Some good news today as well. A Michigan woman said that a tarot card reading correctly predicted she would win $500,000 later that day. Now, I'm not a big believer of, like, tarot cards. I know that some people are into that sort of thing, but come on. So she went to a tarot card reading, and here's her recounting it. She said, "I was told that money would be coming into my life very soon." And you're like, don't they all say that all
I feel
the
like
time?
They always say that.
And that's vague enough where it's like, you know, very soon could be like 3 years from now.
Right.
But she took that as this is my opportunity. She said she actually had the lottery cards or the scratchers in her purse already when she went to this tarot card reading. And then later that night, she remembered she had them in there. She scratched it. She said she saw a star symbol and thought, well, at least I won my money back. I got my $10 back, and then it revealed that she had won the $500,000 prize.
Damn.
And she said, I tried to remain calm, but I knew right then and there that this had just changed my life.
Well, whoever that tarot reader was, I'm sure is super freaking pumped that girl's going to be using that $500,000 to continue to come back to her.
Also, after taxes, and if you're the sort of person that's buying a whole bunch of scratchers and going to tarot card readings, I don't think it's really going to change your life. I mean, I hate to be a Debbie Downer here, because this is the good news, but still, it's pretty easy to run through a couple $100,000.
That might be a good time in the meantime.
Yeah. You'll have a fun year.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
So the NFL draft is coming up next week, and you don't normally hear this from a starting quarterback on a team. He's basically saying, hey, don't be stupid with who you draft. Of course, you should be targeting one player. And, you know, a lot of times, like, the PC thing to do for a lot of these players is be like, you know, whatever the GM and the coach think is the right choice. C.J. Stroud, who emerged as a total stud quarterback for the Houston Texans last year, you know, made it into the playoffs, had remarkable games during the course of the season. He's saying, hey, I know there's some projections saying some of these other wide receivers are who you need to be going after. No, no, no. There's one guy. It's Marvin Harrison Jr., who is his former teammate at Ohio State, one of the top ranked wide receivers. But, you know, you think about the Houston Texans. They've got their franchise quarterback right now. And then they just brought in Steph Diggs, and then you add in Marvin Harrison Jr.
I don't know if Steph Diggs is going to be a net positive. I mean, physically, he's gifted. He's one of the best receivers physically, but his mental game and the attitude he brings to the locker room, we saw in Minnesota and Buffalo, not the absolute best. So, I mean, I get that, you know, C.J. Stroud wants to bring in Marvin Harrison Jr., especially because you want to play with the guys who you know you like. You create that camaraderie. You get a great 1-2 like that who know each other already. Could be a game changer for an organization for like sure. That's had, you know, quite a bit of issues over the last 5-6 years.
I feel like that would be sort of like patting Steph Diggs on the head, though. Like, you know, the starting quarterback is like, hey, let's bring in this stud wide receiver. I feel like the mental
Steph Diggs is also getting old, too. Yeah, well, I mean, yeah, that's sure. The thing. And whereas Marvin Harrison Jr. is coming out of college, he's got, you know, his whole career ahead of him.
But I feel like that's planting the flag. If you're like, hey, let's go get our wide receiver one, the guy that I used to play with, and then Steph Diggs, you can be an awesome wide receiver too, as opposed to doing what the Bills did, you know, where they're putting a captain patch on him and he's still acting like a boob. I feel like this is sort of like planting the flag.
Earn your
like,
place.
Hey, we're the future. You show up, you do your thing, and then you can be a solid 1-2
Nobody's
punch.
Bigger than any team. Exactly. And that's what, and I think he's going to learn that the hard way.
But the NFL draft this year, I mean, it is shaping up to be a pretty exciting one. I mean, you have a lot of high-profile quarterback openings in the league, and then you also have a lot of high-profile quarterbacks that are going to go this year. So just like last year, a lot of big names at quarterback. Will it be another situation, though, where whoever gets that number one pick, because you remember what happened last year, Bryce Young.
Yep.
And C.J. Stroud went number two last year, and he ended up being the
one.
That was the pick.
Well, I'm just excited to bet, man. Like, with football season coming back, there is no better time than when the NFL and the MLB are going full force.
Yep.
I'm here for it.
This is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Dave and Mahoney.
I don't know what this is all about. You just told me to call you a dummy.
There's nothing you can say they haven't heard before.
Leave us a message by calling 833-YO-DUMMY.
Audrey, do you think you're a bold lipstick wearer?
Message deleted.
Absolutely not. I did it one time.
Once?
I did it one time.
Once
actually,
in your life.
So for the MMA awards, I wore
what?
All
I remember
red.
That.
And
yes.
And everybody was looking at me and I was like, oh God, what did I do? Because I was wearing red lip and a red dress.
Yeah.
And I never, ever do that. I am such a like basic. Very basic girl whenever it comes to my nail color and my lip color. Like there, that was probably the most anxious I had ever been getting ready. And I got so drunk so quick because I was so self-conscious about wearing red. And I also never wear red ever.
Now, like, I mean, I guess I didn't really put it together, but I mean, we were hanging out that night and I remember going like, Audrey looks different. I like it. Yeah.
I felt like I was trying to do like Marilyn Monroe cosplay.
Yeah.
I got that photo because Audrey had a camera, like a real camera with film.
Like the old disposable. Oh, yeah. I went vintage.
And she had some pictures developed, and you gave me one when I was DJing that party, and you came up, and we took a selfie, and yes, that's all I see is big red lips. Like it's the focal point of the picture.
Hey, they're normal-sized lips. I didn't get them overfilled.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Hey, do you ever feel guilty about not stopping for somebody on the side of the road? I've been helped a few times, and I feel kind of guilty about not helping somebody else. Thanks. Bye.
Message
I feel like
deleted.
That has gone away.
When
we didn't have cell phones,
There
was a different story because you're kind of stranded, that sort of thing. But now I feel like with the advent of cell phones, we're just going to call roadside assistance, and somebody's going to come and help because I'm not going to be able to do anything. If we were out in like the middle of nowhere and you could see somebody like flagging you down, but if somebody's just like got a blown tire on the side of the road, it's not the issue that it was 20 years ago.
This is probably back in 1998 or something like that. I was working for a law firm as a runner and I was going into work that day and I saw a mom on the side of the road. She was driving a minivan and she was just kind of standing outside of it perplexed because she had a flat tire. Well, back in 1998, your boy, I could change a tire like a NASCAR pit team. Oh, yeah. So I stopped and like pulled over and changed her tire for her. And she slid me a $20 bill as a thank you. And I was like, wow.
Not her number?
No, not her number. No. Again, she had a minivan full of kids. I'm like, you know, 19.
Not ready to be a stepdad just yet.
You didn't realize that was going to be your future very soon?
I knew I'd get there eventually, but not today. And I was feeling pretty good. Like, I'd done a good deed, I'd stopped, and I'd made $20, which at the time was like a pretty big swing.
Chunk of change, yeah.
And then I got to work, and I got in trouble. They're like, you're late. I'm like, and I thought that I would, like, white knight the situation and be like, well, I stopped to help a damsel in distress on the side of the road with a minivan full of kids. They're like, yeah, no, don't do that again, or you're going to get written up.
I thought
I was doing a good thing here.
I saw a lady online yesterday, literally yesterday, who was panicking. And of course, she had the time to set her phone up underneath her car, but she was panicking because she ran over. It looked like some piece of plastic, and she was trying to cut it with like scissors from underneath her car. And she was weeping, freaking out, crying, and hoping that somebody would pull over to help her.
As she was filming the entire time.
Nah. And luckily someone did. But I was just thinking, that is the most me core thing. Like, cutting a bumper that I ran over underneath my car with the kitchen scissors that I have from probably cutting my bangs also while driving.
While I'm sobbing.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So we hear all kinds of stories about scammers and people ripping people off. And unfortunately, it usually has to do with somebody that maybe is feeling lonely or they don't have companionship and they're really looking for that. And so they fall victim to people that are targeting people that are looking for somebody to share something special with.
That's the easiest way to get in to scam somebody, or the easiest way for you to get scammed, because playing on somebody's loneliness or their emotion of, you know, caring and love.
Or them caring or loving somebody else. Yes. Like, we just saw that story about that Uber driver very sadly getting killed because the Uber driver and this 81-year-old man were both simultaneously getting scammed. And the people that were on the phone with this 81-year-old guy, they were telling him that his nephew was the one that was going to be killed if he didn't provide a certain amount of money. Again, like, these scams are all over the place. In that case, it cost somebody their life.
Yeah.
In this case, it cost somebody all of their money and then some. So there's this woman who has now been busted. Her name is Lorraine Marie Rue. She is a Texas woman. And normally, you know, you think of these scammers, you're like, oh, it's this, like, honeypot situation where it's a really good-looking person that's trying to scam this person and they fall for it. I saw the mugshot of Lorraine, and she looks very much like a Lorraine Marie Rue, if that makes sense.
Let me see a picture of her.
I'll pull it up for you in a second. Okay. So she admitted to scamming over $1.2 million from her online boyfriend under false pretenses. She claimed, and this is where it gets really dirty, that the money was needed for her daughter's surgeries and her own heart medication, but instead was using the money for gambling at various Oklahoma casinos.
Oh, yeah. I'm looking at this woman.
Yeah.
She looks like Peter Griffin in a wig.
Yep. That's pretty accurate.
Yeah.
She created fake email accounts to deceive her boyfriend, promising to reimburse him. She pleaded guilty to corrupt business influence and counterfeit charges, was sentenced to 4 years in prison with a credit for a year served, which doesn't seem like enough, because this guy...
$1.2 million and you only get a year?
This was not just the guy giving her, like, it's not like he had, you know, $100 million in the bank or something, and he lost out on $1.2 million. So he hollowed out his savings accounts. He hollowed out his retirement accounts.
Okay.
And he also took a bunch of loans out.
Oh, my God.
Because he thought that this poor woman that he had fallen for had a daughter who needed money for heart surgeries.
All and so he's taking all of these interest.
High interest loans How? That he is on the hook for now. What? So he's not just broke, he's in the hole because this woman was scamming.
How are we living in a society where you can do this to somebody else and you're out of prison?
In a year.
In a year.
Maybe a year.
She gets 4 years total. She already has credit for 1 year served. So yeah, maybe she'll serve another year and then probably be out.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sick. Sick to my stomach.
Absolute dirtbag.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Glitz, glamour, and out-of-touch celebrities.
Well, that's redundant.
It's Pop Trash.
I'm Dave and Mahoney.
So, Mahoney, I never thought that the guy from Dumb and Dumber who played alongside Jim Carrey, Jeff Daniels, of course, who I'm talking about, would be one of my favorite dramatic actors, you know, 25, 30 years later. But here we are. I love Jeff Daniels. Anytime that I see that he is going to be a part of something, I am all about it. I mean, we talked about our shared love for that show Newsroom when that was on the air. That show Godless that he was a part of, that was on a Netflix. Limited series.
Yep.
American Rust that has just recently moved from Showtime over to Amazon Prime. Got a second season over there. I really enjoyed that first season. Well, now there is a new show coming to Netflix from Jeff Daniels. It's called A Man in Full. It's based on a novel. And anytime that they adapt a book to a show, it tends to be done pretty well, right? Because you have a lot of subject matter. Yep. You obviously know what the storyline is. Jeff Daniels stars as a guy named Charlie Crocker, who is a Atlanta real estate mogul that is facing bankruptcy. And Jeff Daniels in kind of that, you know, more serious role, the individual who is going through some stuff at the time. I like him as that type of character and very excited to see this. But the series is going to premiere on Netflix May 2nd.
Yeah, I mean, a guy who can really do no wrong, in my opinion. A true talent can do everything, you know. And this feels like a must-binge show for me. Anything that Jeff Daniels is going to be a part of, you know, has quality at this point because he's picking and choosing these projects now.
I mean, it's going to be a pretty star-studded cast as well, and the executive producer, writer, and showrunner for it is David E. Kelley. He is known for Big Little Lies, so, I mean, they've got a lot of money, I think, that they have put into the show, but May 2nd on Netflix. So this is interesting. You know, Katy Perry is leaving American Idol as a judge. I don't watch American Idol anymore, so.
Oh, no.
But she has endorsed an interesting person to potentially take her spot as judge on American Idol.
Who's that?
Jelly Roll.
Okay.
And he's so commercial right now, that fits perfect.
And like he's such an interesting individual with his story, but he also appears to be such a nice guy. You know, he's not one of these like wannabe Simon Cowell, you know, I'm just going to be mean on the show.
Right.
Like he seems like a genuinely gracious,
he's got a great
nice
attitude
guy.
And been through it all kind of, you know, when you talk about somebody who's, you know, on a heater as far as their career, but you know, doesn't need the show but could add to the show. I think that 100%, I think that would be an interesting choice as a judge for sure.
So Travis Kelce is officially a game show host. We talked about this. There was a possibility. They didn't know if they're going to be able to make it work with his schedule. But Are You Smarter Than a Celebrity, which is a spinoff of Are You Smarter Than a Fifth Grader, Travis Kelce had expressed excitement about his new hosting gig, citing his love for game shows. The show is going to feature contestants answering elementary school level questions with the assistance of celebrities aimed at winning a $100,000 prize. So the original version hosted by Jeff Foxworthy, the reboot, John Cena, now Travis Kelce, 20 episodes ordered by Amazon, expected to bring a fresh perspective to his comedic style and rapport with guests.
Sure, you know, why not?
He's just going to be chopping it up with friends.
You know, Travis Kelce seems corny enough to be a game show host, but not too corny, right, where he's like faking it. It seems like he's just sort of like a fun-loving dude.
Well,
doing
that's
it
why
because
it's
he wants
other
to.
Celebrities, not right. kids. You know what I mean? Like, I think if it were kids or if it were like Jeopardy style where you have like the teens or the collegiate level kids come through, I think that that would be totally corny. I think that, again, because it's celebrities, it's going to feel more like him hanging out with the dudes and the girls.
Yeah, and he's
that
got
you see
plenty
him
of charisma
with.
And charm and yes. everything else. I think he'll do great.
This is Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Who put this story in here?
What story, Dave?
Rising and grinding is bad for your mental health. Mahoney.
Tell
hey,
him,
this is
Tell
just
him.
A study
Tell
that
him.
We need to share with everybody.
No, smart. We do not. Put your jeans on, get to work, stop your complaining. Nah,
I right. feel like I'm most productive whenever I slowly get up and get my coffee and then have the ability to shower and, like, take my time versus, like, scrambling first thing in the morning and depleting all my dopamine
also,
in 30 minutes.
You know, the way the world is now, you know, it's like everybody's got to have 14 side hustles. We feel less than if we don't have everything we see on social media and this, you know, this insane culture of like all you, if you're not working and if you're working constantly and never sleeping, that's something to be something to be applauded.
We're
no, it
to
is
consume.
Not.
Yeah. You are a man.
I want to live. I want to live. I work to live. I don't live to work.
Okay,
there's a
I
difference.
Get that. But you're talking now as a 42-year-old man. You used to actually work hard. Like, when you say that to people, they generally do not believe you. But you are afforded a life of comfort now because you busted your ass when you were younger.
I don't know about all that. I think I just got lucky.
Or you got lucky, or maybe a little bit of both.
No, it's because I'm tall, okay. And that's it. Just an, you know.
So this,
nothing that I've gotten is earned. It's just. kind of stumbled into it.
It's height related.
Yeah.
So this research, which was conducted over three decades, more than 7,000 participants in this study, found that three quarters of the sampled work varied hours, with basically the idea, the premise of the conclusion of this is that if you are constantly hustling, even when you're younger and you're getting up and you're kind of burning the candle at both ends and you're constantly working, you know, you get up early, you start the grind, you're working late, you're sort of focused on work as a whole, it could be bad for your mental and physical health as you get older.
I mean, whenever I was grinding 80 hours a week, I went to Grippy Sockville, like straight up 3 days in there. Cause I like straight, I literally worked myself to the absolute bottom of my candle. That I mean, I just couldn't do it anymore. But
did they involuntarily put you at somewhere for
no,
3 days?
No, I walked
days?
In and I knocked on the door.
Hello.
I said, y'all got room? Help.
What did you do for those 3 days?
Slept.
Really?
Yeah. Literally slept.
I mean, burnout is a real thing. And, you know, having the awareness that, like, hey, I'm totally burnt out and I need a hard reset is something that a lot of people don't find. But they're, I mean, I'm also a proponent of if you are young and you have the energy, yes, work hard.
If it makes you happy.
Chase your dreams. Exactly.
If it makes you happy.
If you feel like you're just getting burnt out and you're never getting ahead, and to your point, Mahoney, you're spending money on things just to feel like you're trying to keep up with other people.
Well, but that's kind of like the caveat, right? Is that whenever you're young, all you want is the things.
Yeah.
So, well, you know, whenever you're young and you're striving for, you know, for, you just got to have your head on right.
But all I want now is, you know, I make more money now than I've ever made in my entire life. You know, after years and years and years of working.
You mean after years and years and years of riding my coattails?
Yes.
Yeah, sure, fine.
That.
But thanks for working so hard, David.
The thing that matters the most is just like I would much rather like all my friends are working, you know, family. It's like that's the thing. It's like that slips away more so than anything. For me, I just want to be around, you know, because like work, it matters, but does it? It's like, well, I mean, we have one shot, like, we can get hit by a bus tomorrow walking down the street.
And then your boss is going to just fill your place.
Yeah.
You hear that all the time. You know, like if you get hit by a bus while you're going to work.
It goes on, man. We've been fired plenty of places.
They'll replace you the next week, but your family is going to miss you forever. So, right. Yes, obviously. I'm not saying ignore your family for the sake of work, but I'm saying
there's a balance.
There is a culture right now of everyone feeling like they're entitled to everything without actually doing the work. And so the people that have done the work are like, no, like you got to bust your bump. You're your hump too.
If you like.
But yeah. If you enjoy.
Would you guys replace me next week?
Yes.
Who is that guy?
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
You know the songs, but can you name them when they sound this bad?
Bad.
It's Cover Your Ears on Dave and Mahoney.
Kelly is joining us today for a round of Cover Your Ears. How are you, Kelly?
I'm doing good. How are you?
Excellent. Do you think you're going to do well in this game?
I hope so.
Best of luck to you. We got 30 seconds on the clock for each one of these songs. Let the full 30 seconds play out before you make your guess. If you need some help, then you do have a couple lifelines if necessary early on. The first one is maybe the toughest one. It's only got 8 views. Like I said, we have a couple today with a couple million views, but the first one only 8 views. So here we go. 30 seconds on the clock. Good luck.
I'm not afraid of you running away on it. There's no sense in pretending. Your eyes give you away. Something inside of you feel like I do. Will say that all there is to say.
And we have to stop it right there.
This is getting good.
I feel like you gotta pull the words out of his mouth. Why were they so slow?
What was the artist's name on that day?
Divine Intelligence, who we have heard before. Mm-hmm. I always enjoy a good one from Divine Intelligence.
That man was lacking everything his name said.
All right, Kelly, do you know it?
Well, I know it's Tom Petty and the Heartbreakers.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's Breakdown.
Breakdown is correct. Yes, well done. Okay. Only 8 views on that one. You get a full point without any help. Well done. The next one here. It's from the WAC Kids. 2.5 million views on this one. Here we go.
Mm-hmm.
whole thing with the WAC kids, and correct me if I'm wrong here, Chris, they only play like kids' musical instruments try to recreate a song, and that's why
toys.
Yeah, they've become like a pretty big sensation online. But Kelly, were you able to figure that one out with just, you know, kazoos and little tambourines?
I was. It's Back in Black by AC/DC.
Excellent.
I dug it.
I did too. It like itched my brain in the perfect way. That little kazoo noise. Mm-hmm. It was so nice. Yeah. I don't know why.
Music
I like
has
it.
Kazoos anymore. Yeah. You know, we need more kazoos.
The kazoo is a lost art.
We need more kazoo, more harmonica.
I feel like kazoos used to. Harmonica.
That too. I celebrate that. Yeah, I observe.
I feel like kazoos used to be given out. Like as when we were kids, like there's kazoos everywhere.
At the dentist.
It's the instrument anybody can play.
What happened to the kazoos? I mean, they just dried up, man.
Parents were annoyed.
I got kazoos. Yeah. I got some kazoos.
Do you? I bet you do, you creep.
Why would you have a kazoo?
Long story.
I feel like most kazoos just look like vapes now. Our vapes look like kazoos.
That's why every kid has a vape problem. It's because they grew up on kazoos.
All right, so Kelly, I'm taking your lifelines away. You're doing too good.
I knew you were going to do that.
Yeah, that's what happens at this point of the game. If you got 2 full points on your own, you don't need any help. You can win it right here if you get this one correct. 2 million views on this one, and this is from Postmodern Jukebox.
One of our favorites.
I love these guys. Let's see if you can figure it out and get the win.
I could stay awake just to hear you breathing. Watch you smile while you're sleeping. Far away and dreaming, I could spend my life in this sweet surrender. I could stay lost in this moment forever, where every moment spent with you is a moment.
Unfortunately, we have to stop it right there because she is awesome. For the win, Kelly, do you have it?
I know it's Aerosmith.
Mm-hmm, it is Aerosmith.
I don't remember the name of the song.
Mahoney and I both have it.
There's lifelines are gone.
I know, but I can't tag you in. He took my lifeline.
Let me play this last part for you here and see if you can figure it out.
Where every moment spent with you is a moment I treasure.
Does that help at all?
No. I just can't remember the song.
Okay.
Steve Buscemi's finest role.
You get a half point on that one. That's I Don't Want to Miss a Thing, and you're right, Steve Buscemi, real star
Save
of that
the
movie.
World.
That's
Isn't
right.
that the music video where he had his daughter being like the hot?
No, that was crazy.
Yeah, that was from Armageddon.
Where she also was in that movie.
Yeah. She was very attractive in that movie, but yeah, it wasn't like her just...
You're thinking of the Alicia Silverstone and Liv Tyler. That was like crazy.
Okay, Kelly.
Weird.
Back to it here. Let's focus on getting this victory. All you need is a half point on this last one. This one's got 326,000 views. Here we go.
What's your name?
What's your name?
How's your daddy?
How's your daddy?
Is he rich like me? Has he taken
any time
to show you what you need to live?
Tell it to me slowly.
Tell me why.
I really want to know.
It's
we'll stop it right there.
Oh, I hate him.
Kelly, for the win.
Oh, gosh. I know that song.
Mm-hmm.
Is it The Time of the Season?
Yes. Yes, it is by the Zombies.
Whew, you got there.
Yeah.
Get in your teeth.
Dave and Mahoney.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So Pamela Anderson is back with another major movie role, which is a little bit surprising in 2024. I mean, Pamela Anderson, obviously everyone knows her. But, you know, her cinematic success hasn't exactly been, it's almost been like a punchline with, you know, everyone thought that barbed wire was going to be such a huge thing, and then it just was not.
I saw that in the theaters.
I'm sure you did.
I bet you did.
Yeah, I was 16 when that came out.
Let me guess, fairly empty theater?
It wasn't packed, but you know what? A cinematic masterpiece.
I mean, the fact that they still call her like a former Baywatch star. I mean, like that was the role, right?
Sure.
That everyone knows her for, along with her work with Playboy. But I don't know if this is going to work or not. I mean, she's starring alongside Liam Neeson, who, you know, obviously a big name as well.
He's got some misses, though.
Yeah,
I feel like he's one of the biggest actors who has, like, he hasn't gone full Nicolas Cage, but, like, because at least Nicolas Cage has these, like, we're like, okay, we know these are going to be bad roles, whereas Liam Neeson's in some movies that are just bad and they're not ironic.
So here's the problem that I have with this, and it's going to come out next year. It's July 18th. Again, you know, Pamela Anderson, Liam Neeson, you know, I don't know if they like guarantee box office success, but they're actually doing a reboot of something. You ready for this?
What's that?
Naked Gun.
What even is Naked Gun?
So Naked Gun was a huge franchise.
Okay.
Back in
Leslie Nielsen.
Leslie Nielsen was.
Is that why they hired Liam Neeson?
Because it just sounds like Leslie Nielsen.
Well, because they're both LN.
Yeah, sure. The reboot is being produced by Fuzzy Door, which is helmed by Seth MacFarlane and Erica Huggins in collaboration with Paramount Pictures. I mean, obviously, you have a lot of respect for what Seth MacFarlane has been able to do over the years.
And he's a fan of that series. And I feel like the Naked Gun series are so iconic. Mm.
So, you know, I mean, the original Naked Gun was released in 1988, and it's widely
Priscilla
considered
was in it.
One of the greatest comedy films of all time.
And
like, anytime you're like trying to recreate what's considered one of the greatest of all time with, and when I think of Liam Neeson and Pamela Anderson, I don't really think hilarious.
I mean, we've seen Seth MacFarlane and Liam Neeson work together before. So, and it was it like 1,000 Ways to Die in the West or whatever that movie was called.
And
maybe this could be the role that kind of brings Pamela Anderson back. At least you throw all those names in there, and you throw Seth MacFarlane as the, you know, EP. At least raises my interest.
Well, and I'm rooting for Pamela Anderson.
Right.
I mean, Pamela Anderson, with everything she went through with that sex tape, and I didn't really know the whole story before they released that documentary on it. And, she just was done so dirty in so many ways with that. So hopefully she gets an opportunity here to find a new life making, you know, feature films, if that's what she wants to do in Hollywood.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
Dave and Mahoney present
Lazy Bones Mahomes.
Do I have to?
Tom is joining us today for a round of Lazy Bones Mahomes. How are you, Tom?
Hey, good morning. Excellent. Thank you.
So let me ask you a question before we get going. Do you think that Mahoney is efficient, or do you think that he is lazy?
I think it's a tough call given on the day, but I don't know. I'm thinking leaning towards lazy.
Son of a, that is correct. Well done.
Hey, Tom, I see how this is going to be. Dave, many moons ago, when I was just a young lad and I was on a spiritual journey on ayahuasca and peyote out in the middle of the desert, I came across a cave, and inside that cave there was a man who said, "Young man, the key to a happy life is working smarter and not harder." And ever since that day, Dave, I have dedicated my life to efficiency.
You took your life advice from a drifter in a cave?
Yes.
Okay. So, Tom, today
there was
it's
a hole in that cave, too. Yeah. It was real.
Is that how you entered?
I don't know.
All right, so this is entitled Lazy Bones Mahone's Higher Power. And keep in mind, Tom, myself and Audrey do not know the correct answer, so we're going to try to talk this out with you. Only Mahoney knows the truth, but these come from Mahoney's wife, from behind the scenes. And Mahoney is known to love to hire people to do things that he has been tasked to do.
I support small businesses, Dave.
So let me read this first one to you. Mahoney has a mail problem. He gets it from the mailbox about 33% of the time and shreds 0% of the time. Last week, I uncovered a massive pile of his personal mail and communal junk in our pantry that he had been stashing for at least 2 years. It's important to note that it was all piled up behind the shredder itself. I pulled it all out, put it on the kitchen counter, and demanded that he take care of it. It stayed there for a day until I got a call from the guard gate saying that someone was trying to enter to take care of our document removal. Mahoney had hired a professional commercial shredder truck to take care of 5 minutes of home shredding, and when I confronted him, he smiled and said, "Best $59.99 I've ever spent, baby."
There is nothing that I hate more in this life than shredding.
I mean, this sounds so
on
brand for you.
I will say, I know I am not the only one who has this aversion to shredding things and piles up mail. Hiring a document removal service is the best $59 you can spend.
I didn't even know that existed, to be quite honest. But, I mean, genius sinus hustle, I guess, if that's your business.
Okay, here's the next one. And again, prepare to be shocked.
Okay.
The weather is warming up, and it's time to start watering the plants more frequently, which means the watering clock needs to be adjusted. Now, for most folks, it's an annoying task that involves about 4 minutes of confusion, but they take care of it. It's a simple component of home ownership. Instead of doing it myself, I foolishly asked Mahoney to adjust the clock. Well, it got adjusted all right when the landscaping crew came to the house and set it for him. I stared at Mahoney as another man adjusted his watering clock, and he shrugged his shoulders and said, "It's not my skill set, baby."
So one of those is supposed to be fake?
That's what I mean. Like, this is why I'm so stumped today, Tom. And tell me your thoughts on this. Both of these sound so 100% true. I'm trying to find the lie.
Yeah, I mean, I totally relate to landscaping crew to come out and set the watering system.
They're pros, man. Right? They know what they're doing. They deal with those day in and day out. I touch that clock once every several years. Okay, so let me give you my thoughts on this, Tom, and obviously you'll make the final decision. Yeah. Would love to hear Audrey's thoughts as well. We're trying to find the true one here, and I think without question, the first one has to be true because that is so on brand for what Mahoney would do, from the hiding the stuff behind the shredder itself
for
a couple of years in the pantry of all places, mm-hmm. to then the solution being hiring somebody else to actually drive to his house mm-hmm. and shred the documents for him. I think that's got to be true. The thing on the second one that gets me is Mahoney being asked to set the watering clock. I think that Aaron instead would have just been like, "I know this lazy son of a bitch is not going to do this," and have set it herself as opposed to asking you.
She also doesn't know how the watering clock works, so I think
getting
that she a lot of judgment for having another man set my clock.
Another man doesn't normally touch your clock?
No. I mean, every couple of years.
Yeah. Audrey, what do you think?
So I think number two is true. I also think number one is true.
Yeah.
I think the only thing that's adjusting number one to be false is I think Mahoney paid more than
$59.99. Ah, interesting.
I think you would have paid $100 and some bucks. On my life, I think that's the only thing.
I will say, Tom, that the look on Mahoney's face right there just looked like he got caught.
Yeah, man. I know you, and I know your premiums.
Uh-huh,
and I think that you would have paid a pretty penny for that premium. Yeah. I think 100% one is right. I think two is also right. I really do think you paid more than $59.99.
You think number one is a lie because the cost, of it.
Not the fact that it didn't happen. I think both are right.
So number two would be the truth.
Dude, I know you so much.
All right, Tom.
I'm gonna go with Audrey, not only because she's hotter, but
fair.
Which is a factor. Uh-huh. However, it totally makes sense. We had a dog washer come over to give our retriever a bath, and that was like $140.
Yeah, man.
So somebody to come over and do a shredder for $59.99, you can't even get your oil change for that.
No.
That's a really good point, Audrey.
Tom,
yep.
You, sir, have made the right choice today with Audrey. Yeah, it was $100. But both of those stories, exactly true.
Spot on.
Dave and Mahoney
this
show.
Is the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So, Audrey, it happened to me, and I don't know if it's ever happened to you before. I walked in the house the other day, and my wife kind of gave me the stink eye, and I was like, what is going on?
Well, what did you do?
I didn't do anything.
Supposedly.
In real life, she had a dream.
What'd you do in her dream that is real to her?
To her dream, I hired 10 prostitutes. I'm like, what am I going to do with 10 women simultaneously?
You're going to call me.
10. What am I going to line them up in the hall? All right, next. Like, you know, babe, you know me. It's like, you know, I got like 4 minutes and then I'm ready for nighttime.
Like, did you hire to like do landscaping?
Right. Like, this is like help. Like, could you do the laundry?
Like, just nannies.
So you hire, she, well, I guess in your dream, hired 10 prostitutes.
And she was mad at me because of this. And she was talking about how, like, in her dream, like, it was pretty in-depth. Like, you know, we were getting a divorce. And I'm telling her, like, she can't tell the kids that, you know, I'd hired 10 prostitutes. And that's why she was leaving me. And she's like, you can't tell me what to tell our kids. And I was, you know, this whole back and forth. Mm-hmm. And she was kind of mad at me. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, this is ridiculous.
Mm-hmm. Well, you shouldn't have done it.
Guess what happened?
What?
You hired 10 prostitutes.
I figured out how to get out of this. Now, the dream gods got me back. So we watched the episode of Saturday Night Live this past week. We had recorded it and we watched it back.
So good, right?
Ryan Gosling was the host of it. And they did a whole bit with Ken. And I had a dream the following night that it wasn't like Ken from Barbie, but there was this really handsome fella named Ken who was a Colombian gentleman who was much more suave than me. Mm-hmm. And also far more wealthy. Like he was like some investment banker and all this stuff. And she was hooking up with him in the dream. And I'd never really experienced this before, but I woke up mad.
Welcome. And I was like, it makes more sense now, huh?
I was mad all day at work yesterday. And then I go home and I'm like, how could you?
See, that now our feelings are valid because it does feel so real. It's not even the fact that our brain is doing these weird mental gymnastics because we don't want to be thinking that way, right? Like, we don't want to have those dreams. It's because it feels so real in the moment that you're absolutely just crushed.
But
like,
how could you do this to me?
Exactly.
Those emotions are just sitting in your subconscious.
It feels so real.
And I told her, because I asked her in the dream, I'm like, are you banging this guy? And she goes, yeah, a little bit. And she was just so nonchalant about it. And like, that's what really pissed me off. I'm like, what are you?
And you guys do that to us too.
Yeah.
Sometimes you guys will do the, oh yeah, babe, like, I just want to hire 10 prostitutes. Let me just go ahead and get them on the phone right now. You guys do the same
thing
to us.
But Dave loses his wife to Colombian Ken.
Yes.
I don't have dreams.
Really?
I don't dream.
I wonder what that means. Let's look it up.
Is that because no prostitutes want to bang you in your dreams? Even if you pay them, they're still like, it's a pass.
Dumbasses.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
New message.
Call the Dave and Mahoney Show voicemail. 833-YO-DUMMY.
That's 833-963-8669. Please leave a message after the tone.
Pulled up to work today, and somebody was parked in my parking spot. Mm-mm. Now, I don't know about you guys, but this is officially my spot. Don't park there. You know that's my spot.
Message deleted.
That is an egregious workplace.
You pull up to
offense.
Work, and somebody is in your spot. Yeah. I will fight you in the parking lot.
But, I mean, Dave, kind of going back to that, like, when we started here, we probably took somebody's spots.
No, see, okay, I don't feel like we did. We may have. And if there's anyone in the building that just wants to tell us that we took their spot, it's too late. I've been parking in that spot for a year. It is now my spot. But I will buy you a bottle of wine to apologize because I never intended to. But because we are the first ones here every day by several hours, mm-hmm. I feel like we're able to claim spots that maybe belong to somebody
else.
Sounds
like we're making excuses for our bad behavior.
Absolutely. That's exactly what we're doing.
I've wanted to park in your spot a couple times, Dave, just to throw you, because I know you're so routine.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
You've thought about that? Yeah.
I thought about it, but then I also like my job. So yeah.
And
then
you like your car, and I would ram your car.
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yes, I'm calling to tell all of the haters out there that they just need to find a different radio station to listen to, because you guys are the best show I've ever listened to. I have a 30-minute commute to work every day. And I just couldn't get enough of you guys on the radio. I had to start listening to the podcast, which is just perfect because there's nothing better than listening to you guys, you know, talk and everything that you do on the way to work. It's just fabulous. Except for the only two things I don't care for that I fast forward over would be the blooper reel. I mean, it's just the mashup is kind of annoying, and beer for breakfast because I don't drink beer. But other than that, love you guys. Keep doing what you're doing. Have a great day.
Message deleted.
I knew there was going to be a but.
Always is.
There's always
that's okay.
You guys are fantastic, but.
But, I mean, that's all subjective, right? Like, we're not going to be batting at 100. We're just not. And for a four-hour-long show, we're just not going to win you for 4 hours. And that's fine.
But we appreciate you saying these nice, kind words to us. And thank you. And the check is in the mail.
I also love words of affirmation, so if anybody else wants to call in and tell us how great we are.
I just thrive on words of affirmation.
I didn't realize how big I liked being told that I...
How great you are.
How great I am.
You know what, Audrey? Like, you are wonderful.
Dave, you're awesome.
Oh, my God.
Handsome, I love your glasses.
You know what? The way that you... There's just a sparkle in your eye today. You look like you're ready to take on the world.
I did put on makeup this morning.
And
is it something
you know what?
To do
it doesn't
that?
Even matter if there's makeup or not. There's a natural sense of just joy that you bring to every room you're in.
Wow. Dave, did you know that you're the hardest working guy I know?
Like did you just jeans. Call me hard?
Wow. Jesus, Dave. That's
no, hardest. I know. Never mind.
You guys ever had a steak cooked on a charcoal grill? Or when was the last time that you did? What is your preferred way of having a steak cooked?
Message
it's been
deleted.
A long, long time since I've done just straight charcoal.
Man, I'll tell you, one time I screwed up bad with charcoal grills because I was early on. It was, maybe freshman, sophomore year of college, something like that. We had a little house party, and we had a charcoal grill.
A Weber?
Yeah, it was a Weber. And
of course it was.
We were cooking burgers because we were watching some college football, as you do in college. And there was the burgers on the grill, and I realized that the charcoal was not quite hot enough to really cook the burgers as fast as I wanted them to. Because
just give them the flavor of charcoal?
Yeah, and
I
added lighter fluid.
While it was still hot?
While the burgers were still on the grill.
Yeah.
And if you do that,
everything tastes like gasoline.
Everything tastes like lighter fluid.
I was just going to say, isn't it so bizarre that we're like, hey, let me cook this meat with gas or with coal and then ingest it?
It's fine.
It's gross.
I love it.
Steak
grilled last night.
Or burgers done anyway. Like, I mean, literally, I like always. You know, when it comes to, like, especially like when it comes to burgers, you know, if you're on like one of those like Blackstones or, you know, a grill or any way you want to do a burger, there's really just not a wrong way to do a burger.
But propane, some people prefer the taste of charcoal.
I mean, I think it's just, I would. I don't know if I prefer it or not. It's just more work, so I don't.
Gotcha, because you got to clean it.
I'm not kidding. I just realized something. So my wife normally likes her steak more well done than mine, and I cooked hers a little bit longer last night like I normally do.
You mean like, so she likes hers like medium rare or medium?
She likes hers medium, and I like mine rare. But what I did last night is I'll leave the grill going, and then I'll bring it inside and I'll cut it open. And normally she's like, go take it back out and put it back on the grill for another couple of minutes.
You got a butterfly steak wife?
I don't recall going back outside to turn the grill back off.
But you
last
probably
night.
Did. You just had some wine.
No, I didn't have any wine. It's dry January.
Oh, no. So it's still on.
Well, I'd say, I mean, it would have burned through the propane probably now, unless the house burned down. But,
huh. Well, that's good, though, that your house was still standing this morning.
Yeah, no, I mean, that's
even if you did leave it on.
You can't show, you're just like,
Yeah.
Maybe you should text her.
Probably shouldn't.
No,
okay.
I mean, it's, at this point, the propane has already burned off.
The propane has burned off.
The knob off.
It's 12 plus hours later.
Ah, man, did I just waste all my propane? Because I hate going to get new propane.
Setting it all
up. That sucks. Yeah,
just, you know,
I don't want to exchange the tank.
You always feel like it's going
to
explode in your car. It's not. You always feel like it will.
Dave. You know they have services that they'll come to your house and bring you new propane.
Of course they do.
They do?
Yes.
Oh.
Man.
Propane services and propane appliances.
Any service.
If there's anyone that has a hack as to how to not do something that is very basic.
I think you can get propane. They bring propane to me.
You get propane delivered on Instacart, I believe.
I can?
I think so.
Sure.
Now we're talking.
If they've got it at the grocery store. It's not like they card you. They can deliver you wine if you have your ID on you.
The house didn't burn down, and I don't have to go to a Walgreens today to swap that thing out.
Best day ever.
Oh, look out.
Dumbasses.
You're listening to Dave and Mahoney.
It's the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So this week was the week where they have lit the Olympic flame, and it's making its way from Greece to Paris. It's going to be traveling the 3,100 miles. And I will say, I don't know if you guys saw the pictures of them lighting it in Greece. They had, you know, all of the women that were carrying the torch initially that were kind of dressed in the traditional, like, Olympic wear that's very Grecian.
Yeah.
And I thought that was kind of a nice touch. And then I also thought, I think probably the same thing that you guys did, I'm not sure. Do people still care about this?
I don't think they care about the torch lighting.
It used to be such a monumental thing. I remember
the world would track it. They'd be like,
out.
Okay, here it is. And everyone would be tracking it like it was Santa's sleigh on Christmas Eve. You know, you would know exactly where it was at all times.
Well, what about because we have so many amazing athletes that we've kind of become desensitized to the world's athletes, the best in the world. Because we just can turn on, you know, CNN
we're inundated by sports constantly, right? Yes. I think there's something to be said about that. And then also, it is more segmented, right? Like, if you're a football fan, you're a football fan. Or maybe you're a football and a baseball fan, but that's all that you watch sort of thing. And so with the Olympics, you're kind of like, what am I going to get? What Olympics is this? Okay, this is the summer one, so they're going to be swimming, right?
Yeah. But they don't even feel like freak athletes anymore. I mean, sort of doubling down. I feel like you can just turn on, I don't know, the Physical 100 on Netflix and watch freak athletes, you know, at any time versus, shot put or whatever it's called.
Did you see
feel so crazy anymore.
The controversy around the women's track and field outfits.
Oh, yes,
there's people saying that they were too skimpy. I'm on the other side of this. If as a former track and field athlete myself, the skimpier the outfit, the better during those years of my life because I was in my peak physical condition. Like, just let it all hang out.
I'll say this. I do find it weird that they're not able to choose. You should be able to have, like, if you want to wear the super low-cut B briefs that look great, if you're, you do you. But, like, if you don't want to, you shouldn't have to wear that. That's so... No. Like, it is a little dumb that they're not able to pick their own uniform, shorts.
I mean, in 2024, I mean, this, age of you do you sort of thing, I do think that the guys should have the option to wear the ladies' uniform if they're feeling extra confident.
Oh, man, if they want to wear a banana hammock and run the 100-meter dash.
I want to be wearing a banana hammock and do a full mile.
That's right.
let all the flap happen. But, yeah, the Olympics, we're getting going. The 5,000
kilometers.
When do they
start?
Summertime.
Okay. Yeah. That's how little we know.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah, sometime. They're running the torch
it's
now.
It's on the way, and then it's going to start probably.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
So it's not a huge surprise that Patrick Mahomes is coming out and saying something nice about somebody else because out of all of the quarterbacks in the NFL, I think that Patrick Mahomes has got to be top five for probably like the nicest guys.
He's up there, he's got that Muppet quality, him and Kermit,
He does sound like Kermit the Frog.
He does, does have like a good wholesome kind of, he feels like does all the right things when it comes to being a quarterback.
I remember because I do work for the NFL draft, and one year we were hosting an event, and this is a few years ago in Nashville, but it was right after Patrick Mahomes, who was still pretty young in the league at the time, had just won NFL MVP. And, you tend to think, a younger guy who comes into the league, ends up sitting behind Alex Smith to begin. And then, when he finally gets his opportunity, blows everybody away. It would be pretty easy. And Mahoney, I don't think that you and I would have been able to handle that sort of success and adoration. It probably would have gone to our heads because, again, you're like, you're 20 something years old and all of a sudden you're arguably you're the league MVP. It's pretty nuts. But I had a chance to talk with him and did a 20-minute interview, and I was just kind of shocked at how humble and down to earth he was. And I was like, man, that just would not have been me. Like, I would be a much bigger a-hole.
Oh, for sure.
If I was that guy.
Same.
But just, totally sweet guy. Now he's coming out talking about how big of a fan he is of Taylor Swift. And, his wife has become seemingly, pretty good friends. They hang out at the games.
Of course he's a fan of Taylor Swift. She's bumping up all sorts of stuff for their team as well. I mean, it's not even like, you have Travis as well on your team to make both of you guys the superstar duo for your Super Bowl winning team. You had to add a billionaire.
The world's biggest superstar as a fan cheering you on.
Of course you're a fan.
You guys don't have enough stuff going on.
Right.
You're going to bring her and her legion of fans from around the world.
Even if she wasn't dating your bro, you would still be a fan if she started just randomly showing up to your games.
But I found it interesting because, this is the sort of personality that Taylor Swift puts out there, and you don't know if it's just cooked or carefully crafted, but he was talking about how down to earth she is, and coming from Patrick Mahomes, who, again, in my just personal limited experience, seems to be that exact same way, down to earth.
He's the biggest star in the NFL right now.
Yeah.
I mean, no ifs, ands, or buts. He is the heir apparent after Tom Brady has retired. For him to say this, not a shock. But even we've known this for years working in the radio industry, the music industry, that Taylor Swift, her team just does it right. I mean, from meeting fans to, being, the way she handles herself around radio people, just thank you, the gratitude. It's just, they should write a masterclass in how to handle yourself and based upon everything that she's done.
It's the sort of person that expresses a whole lot of gratitude to people that can no longer do anything to help her or affect her life, right? Like, she is blown past everyone's expectations, but still is out there and seems to care about people, that whether they helped her along the way or just showing a sense of gratitude even when the person can't do something in return is nice to see.
I'm just glad she's finally getting her flowers. I'm not a Swiftie by any means, but she's doing everything she's always done.
Uh-huh.
She's just finally dating a hot guy. and now getting her flowers for
it. And you know what? I hope it works out. I hope there isn't going to be some sort of bombshell where she finds out that, you know, Travis is just a dog and he's just, you know, while she's on her world tours. I wouldn't think that that would be the case. Yeah. But, you know, it's also Travis Kelce.
You can tame him sometimes. Yeah, maybe he can be tamed.
Uh-huh. Maybe. Yeah, we'll see.
She's also a little...
Yeah, sure.
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
I got a message for you.
Leave a message for the Dave and Mahoney Show anytime by calling 833-YO-DUMMY. That's 833-963-8669.
Did you get that?
Please leave a message after the tone.
All right, Dave Mahoney, I got a question for everybody. So we just restored an old Camaro. Best father-son thing we got to do. But I'm 21 now, and I'm like, oh, geez, wow, hand crank windows are hard. And, oh, yeah, you can burn your finger on the cigarette lighter. What are your guys' memories of just old school cars? And maybe what is your dream car?
Message deleted.
First off, I am at the age now where I have a real appreciation and desire for, like, one of the classic cars. Like, for me, it's always been the 60s Mustangs because my uncle had one when he was growing up.
The first car was a Mustang, too, wasn't it?
I've had a couple of Mustangs. I've had three Mustangs during my life. Wrecked them all. But that's besides the point. My uncle had a Mach 1, and, like, those were so cool to me because I thought my uncle was so cool. So love the idea of classic cars, like you and your dad restoring a classic car together. Like, how awesome is that? But you mentioned two things, like the cigarette lighters and the roll up and down windows. I used to think it was like something I should almost list on my resume as a skill set for how quickly I could roll up and down a window in a car, which is definitely a lost art now. But the cigarette lighter thing, and I feel so bad about this, Dad, I think you're listening this morning, and I'm sorry. He had a cigarette lighter in the car. He didn't smoke, but it was, yeah, like every single car had the push-in cigarette lighter.
That's how it was.
And I distinctly remember one time when I was a kid, I don't remember how old it was, but old enough to remember it, so I should have known better. I would take the cigarette lighter and put it in, get it hot, and then like burn the back of the seat.
Mm-hmm. No!
But did you do the same thing, Chris?
Well, I did it without realizing it. I pushed the cigarette lighter in, and then when it came out, I was like, I wonder if this is going to burn something. So the center console right there, and I just pressed it down.
Whoops. Sure does. Uh-huh. Sure does. I think, and I don't know if you can confirm or deny this, I think I made a little smiley face because there's a little two eyes and a little mouth.
Yeah.
It was the back of the seat and the bottom, so I don't even know if you ever saw it, but sorry, Dad.
My dad saw it.
I wonder why you got kicked out at 18. Meanwhile, yours truly got to stay until I was 23. For me, classic cars, like, it's not so much muscle cars, but like the old Grand Nationals and the Cutlasses, like the ones from the 80s, like all blacked out with the T-tops.
Oh, yeah.
Like those are when I see those classic cars on the roads now or are like restored from my like teenage years, because those were like first cars for a lot of us. I'm just like, that's the one I would probably want to buy.
Yeah.
Like anything like in the 60s and stuff, it's just like, I didn't grow up with seeing those, because even in the 80s and 90s, they were still rare then. Mm-hmm. So give me an old like 87 Grand National.
Things are sweet. Audrey, are you old enough to appreciate classic cars yet? Or are you still?
I'm not really a car girl, to be fair, though. Like, I'm not going to fake the funk. I just remember whenever I was about to turn 16, I didn't actually start driving until I was 17. My senior year, my parents wouldn't get me a car or really let me have a driver's license until I was that age. But I remember being so delusional and printing off pictures from, like, I don't even know what website I was on, online somewhere, printing off pictures of, like, G-Wagons. But yeah, this is the car I want, if you don't mind.
You know what's funny is that, like, all of us dudes, and this just proves, like, how stupid we are, like, we think that if we get that classic car,
it's going to attract women.
Women are going to love my 65 Mustang, and instead it's just a bunch of dudes.
Same thing with, like, you get giant muscles and you're, like, in perfect shape.
Yeah.
You get more compliments from men. Same thing with your cars.
Women are like, dad
watches
mods are cool.
A Rolex. You buy an expensive watch. No woman is impressed.
Doesn't
ever.
Care. Does not.
Dudes,
care
on the other hand, though,
like, wow, are you single?
Please leave a message after the tone.
Yeah, somebody called in who loved pickle sandwiches. He sounded really cute.
I mean, I thought Chris sounded cute, but this Thank guy, you. And he eats pickles. What a man. I wonder if he's single. Is there a way you can find this out?
Message
pickle
deleted.
Sandwiches? You find a man who eats pickle sandwiches to be attractive? That seems...
No, I'm gonna have her back on this one. I feel like I've got such a passion for pickles.
But on a sandwich? Just a
My
pickle
mouth is
sandwich?
Watering right now just thinking about them.
Pickle by itself.
If somebody tells me that they are into pickles, like I'm into pickles, I feel like we can be friends on that alone.
But a sandwich.
You want to
you're putting
fried
a pickle.
Let's do it.
You taking Julie
pickles
from me?
Just between Maybe. Bread. That seems
so. I got some grief this past weekend because I went to the butcher shop because mm-hmm. we got some meat to cook on Friday night, and at the butcher shop that I go to, they have one of those giant jars of enormous pickles right at checkout. There's a lot of things at checkout that I can resist.
You go driving pickle.
It was too big to eat while driving.
I brought them home. Knife pickle?
They were bagged up in individual Ziploc bags, and I was walking around my house just munching on this pickle. And my wife said, "What are you doing? Like, it was the size of like a cucumber."
Well, I mean, they that's are impressive. Cucumbers.
I know. But my kids were like, "Dad, that's amazing. Can I have a bite?" I'm like, "Hell no, kid. Get out. Get lost. It's my pickle."
Dave and Mahoney.
You're listening to the Dave and Mahoney Show.
If you are a fan of Major League Baseball, then you almost certainly know Trevor Bauer because he's had a lot of success playing in the league. And he played for the Diamondbacks, and he played for the Indians and the Reds and for the Dodgers as well. But a very successful starting pitcher.
Mm-hmm.
He is no longer in Major League Baseball and has a lot to do with the accusations that were levied against him by a woman from Arizona. Her name is Darcy Ismanu, I believe is how you say her last name. But she accused him of some very, very serious stuff. She said that he raped her in 2020 and got her pregnant. And that is an incredibly serious charge. And it, you know, obviously sidelined him from being able to play in Major League Baseball while everyone was trying to figure out what was going on.
Well, right. And a lot of times with those charges, you immediately, because you should be believing the victim in that, right?
Right.
Like, I mean, it's almost, if you say that, it is instant guilt.
You're guilty until
for
proven
sure.
innocent. And that's not...
In the eyes of the public, yes.
Yeah, for
and,
sure.
And
yeah.
for the organizations a lot of the time.
Absolutely.
But obviously, there's going to be an investigation that went on. And now, the woman that accused him of that has been hit with felony charges herself.
For what?
So here's what happened. I guess they had a consensual hookup in 2020. Mm-hmm. And there was like a prophylactic that broke or something like that. And so she informed him that she was pregnant.
Okay.
And then... This is where the things get dicey, and this is where the alleged extortion begins. She said, "I'll terminate the pregnancy for $1 million. And he's like, "I'm not going to pay you $1 million for a pregnancy. Like, we hooked up once, and that was the end of it. But, you know, I'll pay for, like, the procedure to be done if that's what's necessary." Turns out, she was never pregnant, according to the medical records that Trevor Bauer is now citing. So I guess they've done a deep enough dive to figure out that she wasn't even pregnant. She made the whole thing up. She was trying to get $1 million out of him. And Trevor Bauer is young in terms of life. He's only 33 years old. He's not young for a baseball player and certainly not young for a starting pitcher.
Right.
And so he has now come out and said, "Hey, can I like finally get back to like doing what I love and what I'm really good at and making a living?" Because, you know, I've been sidelined for all of this time now because of these horrible accusations.
I mean, like, again, if this turns out that, you know, she is, these charges are proven to be true, that she did lie and then there was extortion, he lost probably 4 years, 3 or 4 years, the most important years of his baseball career.
That is crazy.
That's
that
wild.
It took 4 years to figure out that this was extortion. I'm mind blown by that.
So the additional charges that she is facing now for fraud and theft is because there's also a connection with interactions with another person that she allegedly did this with. So there's a pattern here. It is dirty. It is really sad. If this is, in fact, the truth of the matter, I feel terrible for Trevor Bauer to have gone through this. They say, you know, Bauer believes that Darcy's actions constitute a pattern of deceit and extortion. He hopes that he can resume his Major League Baseball career. But, you know, at 33 years old, does he still have enough gas in the tank? I don't know. But, boy, that is rough for Trevor Bauer.
That's a wild story that you did not see that turn coming.
This is David Mahoney.
Hell yeah!
These people remove the toothpick from their mouth when taking a wedding photo. It's the Redneck Report.
Redneck Report.
On Dave and Mahoney.
So the other day in the Redneck Report, we had a story about a kid going 199 miles per hour, and They said that he was doing it basically for social media. He had one of those sticks set up on the back of his car, and he was filming the whole thing for his Instagram. And everyone's like, unforgivable.
You're doing it for the likes.
This one, again. A 27-year-old Florida man was arrested for driving 108 miles per hour on the 95. He was charged with reckless driving, and deputies observed him going in and out of traffic, obviously, because he was driving so fast. When they pulled him over, he explained he was in a hurry to go see his girlfriend in North Carolina.
Hell yeah.
Which means he was going to get laid.
That's
which, if I'm the cop, I'm like, the whole diarrhea excuse, I feel, is sort of played out at this point. If you're doing it for the gram, I'm going to tase you and take you to jail.
But if you're going
you're like, just try to slow down a little bit, buddy.
Well, I'm going to write you a ticket, but only for 10 over.
That's right.
We're going to let you off a little easy on this one. And also, like, think about this. I mean, 27's not young.
I'm going to let you off easy so that way you can get lit up. Okay.
But could you remember, do you remember making those drives, though, when you were, like, 20 years old?
Yeah.
To, like, go do that, and you just felt like, I have to get, like, I understand this guy driving 108 because you feel like I have to get there
before they change my mind.
She if I take too long,
she's not going to flare like I am in the mood, and if I don't get there as quickly as possible, there's a chance she is not going to be in the mood when I arrive.
What's the furthest you've ever driven?
Oh,
farthest?
Boy.
Furthest.
I feel like Mahoney's got the best story on this one, because didn't you drive, like, across state lines?
Yeah, man. Yeah. I've driven, like, 400 plus miles to get laid.
400 miles?
Yeah.
How many hours is that?
It's an 8-hour drive, man.
I mean, that's...
It's like an 8-hour drive.
I think I made it in 6.
Okay.
Because I was going 100-plus in my Toyota Celica back in the day. So, again, I hope this man didn't get arrested.
He did get arrested.
Oh.
So,
she was definitely not in the mood after that.
Oh, what happens if... Oh, never mind.
Also, Jameis Winston, can you come get your friend, please? A guy named Kareem Griffin, a 46-year-old man from Jacksonville, Florida, was arrested for stealing a significant amount of stuff from a Walmart. He went in, stole 9 lobster tails,
hell
4
yeah.
ribeye steaks, yeah. 2 packages of snow crab legs.
Oh, yes.
Shout out, Jameis.
Dang.
And a rotisserie chicken.
The
rotisserie chicken was for, that was for the moment.
It's a road snack.
He's hungry from all the stealing.
You got to eat the chicken skin before you get home, man. That's the best part.
Dude, that chicken skin off a rotisserie chicken.
I slurp it up. Yeah. Like, I'm so disgusting.
I snorted it once.
That's a wrap.
Well, it's about time.
Follow the Dave and Mahoney Show on social media at Dave and Mahoney.
At Dave and Mahoney.
They're everywhere.
Like us on Facebook. Follow us on Instagram.
Listen anytime and on demand at DaveandMahoney.com.